The Charlie Battisti & Co, Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.
Questions without notice.
And then we'll pick up the conversation we had just before 8 o'clock because it was a different response from my man Buck. Said, hey, I love my Mondays with Nathan. It's different to what we do with Tim because we will sometimes disagree and we continued our conversation through the 8 o'clock news. So the bit of audio we played then was the Chris Fagan in response to a question about when they last played against the Western Bulldogs and also Ben Rutten referring to the last time they played against Sydney.
Yep.
Both coaches, well, certainly Chris Fagan answered the question in the affirmative. Yeah, yes, yep. A little bit of motivation. But you're saying it's self-perpetuating. How can that be?
I think it is. I think there's
coach answers it.
I know it is. I know that there is a difference between the way clubs and coaching panels perceive their past and some of the issues that are brought up. I mean, it was Luke Parker's 250th, yep. Which was to be celebrated. But it just so happened to be Essendon and the Luke Parker, Dylan Shield one. The amount of airtime that gets, like for broadcast to drum up the emotive elements.
That's the industry we're in.
It is, absolutely it is. That is over the top compared to, if at all, that sort of Rutten, Essendon, Dylan Shield actually dealt with that. In the lead up to this game,
but they're two different things, though.
Yes,
right? So I agree with you.
Yep.
Because as I said to you in the ad break, it's a really good example. During the finals of last year over in Perth, so I'm there for a month. I'm away from yep. what you know. All anyone wanted to tell me about was that Melbourne they played one game in 4 weeks because they played in a bye and they won. Then there was a bye and all that.
Yeah. Right?
So I'm going, I wonder if that's a problem. And I'm there, so I'm close enough to talk to the people about it. They didn't even know what I was talking about.
Yeah.
So it wasn't an issue, but that doesn't mean it's not an issue to be debated.
No, absolutely. And the interesting thing is that's what happens at press conferences because most coaches are quite open and expansive. They're not of the mind to shut people down. So if a direct question is asked about last time you played that opponent, of course, if you're a coach, you've looked at the last time you've played that opponent. You're actually trying to unpack the things that you did well against them and reinforce that and the things that they did well against you and then stop that from happening. So you're not going to say, nah, I didn't look at that. But if it's seen as the motivation of, say, losing a final or the motivation of six for Fagan mm-hmm. and Brisbane and 6 weeks ago when you played Sydney in Sydney and you performed so poorly – yes, there's going to be elements of it, but where we build it to, and this is, I'm not being critical of it, but the difference between what happens in the internal environment of a football organisation and preparing for a game versus what we think the emotional hooks and triggers are that we pull the supporters and we pull each other into, they're actually very different.
Yes. So you're aware of it.
Yeah.
I become even more aware of it, but for the average punter out there, they want to know that. They coming into Essendon versus Sydney, the average punter who's not exposed to the footy like we are,
yep.
They sit there going, oh, I wonder whether Essendon will use this, you know, the whole Luke Parker. Yep. So, of course, that's a legitimate question to ask.
And I think I'm not saying it's not a legitimate question to ask, but I think it becomes self-fulfilling. We end up getting hooked on one particular aspect or another. Where I think there's what we're seeing more comes through, and I mean, I'd like to think that we provide this enough, and that is okay. Let's get underneath the surface level and actually talk about what's actually going on in this game of footy, and there's some deeper, more meaningful themes that are taking place, and we want to share that with the viewers and the listeners.
That's true, but there are different levels of interest out there for the general supporter.
Yeah.
Some want to strip everything and some will love the analysis, statistical analysis, and they want to go deep and provide
for
them.
Yeah.
Others will go, I just want to know who's going to kick that. And others will go, you both got the brace and bits with what Shield did, what Parker did to Shield.
Yeah.
So there's all these different layers of interest which need to be serviced.
Mm.
So that is, I guess, the role of the media. And sometimes we go too far in focusing on one thing at 100%.
And you, where those seeds are planted are within the first 2 or 3 minutes of commentary, of review in the moment, because that locks away. And even like, so I'm doing the couch with you tonight. So I think that's an influential program in taking the attention of the viewer, of the football lover, towards these issues.
Yeah.
So getting that right is actually a really important part in terms of educating the football viewer.
Mm.
So, like, and if you're a Carlton fan, okay, I want to know what Gary Lyon, Nick Riewoldt and Jonathan Brown think about how my club are going and what they're doing.
Mm.
And to get that right is important because it really does set the agenda and you end up, it becomes confirmation bias. You keep looking for those things.
But when you say to get it right, it's important. Ultimately, it's an opinion.
Correct.
Where there's no, I'll come on tonight and whatever and say, it might not be what your opinion is.
Yeah.
But it's not. There's no right or wrong. The only right or wrong is on September 30.
Yeah.
That's where the right or wrong comes into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the end, the clubs and what's happening in club land is what gets that done.
Oh, that's good. That's a good discussion. I like it. Hey, I've got a lot of other stuff I haven't even got to. So let me run through a few of the ones I've got.
Yes.
Now, watch that game, Port Adelaide and Fremantle. The Nathan Fyfe influence is just emerging more and more. And there's more influential players than him at the moment. I just wonder by season's end whether he will still be one of the most influential. His half-forward role that he played almost, I think, exclusively on the weekend, he's got game time under his belt. They're going to be very dangerous in this back half.
Well, absolutely. And you know how much impact the guy can have. I mean, he became, like, he had 21 touches, only 5 kicks, mind you. So he's getting a lot of ball there where... Yeah, you're a little bit outnumbered. You're in a contest, and then he's feeding guys in time and space. So, but his aerial capacity, we haven't really seen it come to the fore this year yet.
Yep.
And he's obviously coming off shoulders. So, ultimately, his capacity is going to be the cream on the cake for Freo because they're pretty solid.
This is questions without notice, so I should frame these in question, and you can as well. Chad Warner, has Chad Warner gone ahead of all the other talented group of young Sydney Swans players?
He's like that game he played on the weekend was next level.
Mm.
Like he's had 13 inside 50s.
Yeah.
And if he wasn't going inside 50, he was winning clearances. So you think, okay, what are the two most important kicks in footy are the inside 50 kick, how well you do that, and it's actually, I reckon, it's the kick out of defensive 50, because if you can find someone there in your defensive mid, then you can set the game up. So, and then obviously a clearance possession is worth its weight in gold as well. So this kid is winning ball from the inside, getting outside, he's breaking lines, and he's damaging going inside 50, kicking, and he kicked 3 goals himself. So that's an awesome performance. Really, really good.
Gone ahead of Golden, Campbell, McDonald, Stevens, and those folks.
Well, right, his performance and his form right now is at that level. Lot of talk about Dan McStay, and he hasn't been performing as well. It's widely assumed that he's been offered 5 years at 600K from Collingwood. What's your read on that?
Oh, I don't. I'm not deferring. I don't play in the space. I don't chase the story. I wouldn't have a clue what he's been offered.
Would they
have that much money in their salary cap, Collingwood?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Well, you don't. So they'd have to cut someone to fit him in.
Well, I would have thought. I would have thought that would have. It was only a couple of years ago we were having a shed. So I don't know whether that's been whether that's a possibility. But that because he's a that's the type. We just assume that's a fit, don't we? But or is there more underneath it
Collingwood and McStay?
Well, no, even for is there more guts to that story from information from managers, etc.?
No, again, I don't know. We'll have to get Sam Edmund in. I don't know. The fact that he hasn't signed and Brisbane are a team that you would be very happy to stay at, I guess that adds some weight to it. But he's a nice player, but gee, it's a lot of excitement over a player that, you know, it just is a good sort of solid goer.
Where did you rank Georgiades, Mark?
Yes, I'm well placed to talk about these. Haven't been involved in many marks of the year.
Sean Smith on you?
Thank you. And Jeff Farmer many times. Russell Robinson occasionally.
So I know you went under Mitch Georgiades, but
it's a great
mark. You didn't.
It was a great mark. Both Ian Young's marks were sensational. It was a really enjoyable game. We had all the highlights. Goals from the
Charlie
boundary.
Charlie Dixon's goal.
Yeah, Caleb
Sarong. Sarong's goal.
It's a fantastic game of footy, so I loved it. Just on Geelong, the timing of, as you spoke about earlier, in having all of these players together at the right time of the year is starting to materialise, isn't it? It just looks like it's falling into place. Now, things can go wrong, I understand, from here. You know, Selwood De Koning rested on the weekend. They'll come back. Meningola got games into him. You know, Duncan's playing again. The two key forwards are up and about. It just looks like they're timed their run okay.
And this will only be judged in retrospect.
Yeah.
Because Geelong have put themselves into a position that they've put themselves into year in, year out.
That's true.
Chris Scott is a 70% plus win ratio.
Okay, so let me frame the question differently.
Do we think this
is different about Geelong this year to the previous?
I don't think there is a lot different, to be honest. I don't think there's a lot different. I think that they've been able to maintain their momentum through the season. I think GMHBA helps when they go back home because that ground has what I believe is the biggest home ground advantage of any club. Even when you travel to Perth or you travel to Brisbane, like that shaped, the ground is shaped differently, and I think that has the biggest impact on the type of football that's played. And I think that's a massive advantage to them. I think they're introducing younger players and that is helping them. They're doing it without Stewart at the moment. I think Hawke has probably had a couple of quiet ones before he jumped up this week. I think they're just idling along beautifully. But it's still as a matter of putting it all together when it counts.
So I would say if I was asked that, Sam De Koning is changed given that he wasn't there last year. Tyson Stengel has changed given that he wasn't there last year. So there's two pretty important pieces of a puzzle that's been pretty well, you know, spot on, apart from the fact they haven't been able to get across the line. So it allows Blitzars then to do some different stuff.
But see, when two or three years ago, Grime Myers was doing pretty similar to what Stengel was probably doing, hitting the scoreboard a little bit more. But then Dowhouse had come in and he had an impact straight away. So those players had dropped off a little bit and you got some that have come up. So, and De Koning's, he is an exceptional talent and you're going to be able to build around him. I don't know. I mean, in the end, the question is sometimes has a Carlton had its best mix together at any point?
No.
You know, probably not.
No.
Has Geelong had its best mix together
just
at any point?
No.
Yeah, you know, Melbourne, they started the season without a back line.
We haven't spoken about Melbourne, have
we? So you've got teams that, in the end, how you looked in round five or even in round 16 is largely irrelevant when you get to finals. And there's a lot of footy to be played between now and then. So which is the team that is going to be able to not just get their ducks in a row with their playing stocks, but to be in sync, on song, and efficiently playing together? That's the challenge.
Big question to be answered in time. We'll talk about the games that we haven't got to. We've got Jaden Short from the Tigers not too far away. But right now, we'll take a break. Questions without notice?
Luke Hodge contacted us before 8.
Didn't get onto me. He was having a pot at me.
He said Gaz is too high profile to give his number out. This is Luke Hodge, like multiple premiership winning captain.
I'm a bit worried when he gets on the
media megastar.
Source, he might drunk text me or something.
Do you reckon?
No, I don't.
It's 7:30 in the morning.
No, he don't. He's a great man. I love him, and I love him on SEN, and you'll hear him. I think he's on tomorrow, Wednesday, with Jared, and on the weekend as well.
A lot, do you?
Here's a question without notice. This occurred to me. I was reading Damo's article, If and When, or Then, and If and Then, whatever it is.
2.6 million people have watched this.
No. He has been pumping himself up a bit lately. He's got to pull. I might have to ring him. But anyway, he was talking about Taylor Walker and where he's at, and that Adelaide haven't given him a contract. And then he was suggesting, well, if they don't, I'm paraphrasing, maybe it's Collingwood. And then he just threw in the end, or Melbourne.
And what did that do for you? Did that just plant a seed?
Write it down to ask you this morning. That's what it did for me. Would Taylor Walker work at Melbourne?
Absolutely. Absolutely, he would. This is a Taylor Walker decision, because I think that he has. I mean, the football that he's played this year has been exceptional, and
Stephen May in the first 20 minutes of the weekend was. I've not seen Stephen May beaten like that for a long time.
Well, this guy is a 6'5" midfielder. The way he plays, his field kicking is as good as any. I know that David King's been big on Jeremy Cameron and the way that he uses the ball by foot, but he's just a left footer. Taylor Walker can go right and left, and he's finishing for goal. He positions himself really well, contested marking. If he wanted to, I reckon he would have three or four premiership contenders that would be I think Geelong are stacked in the forward line. They wouldn't be looking. Potentially Carlton with McKay and Curnow. But I think you're right. I think Melbourne would definitely be a fit. And I think, Collingwood potentially. But it wouldn't be it can't be a money play for him. It would have to be I'm going there to potentially be the final piece of a puzzle that might. Yeah.
And that's where players of that ilk, I'm not saying he will do it or should do it or would do it. He might want to finish a one club player at Adelaide. Yeah. But they're the win-wins. You know, Adelaide go, okay, we're not in the premiership window. We need to, fast track Thilthorpe and Fogarty, whatever. But there's an opportunity for you to have a crack somewhere else.
And the reality is that those conversations are the conversations that take place between player and management outside of the club situation. And if clubs need to be attentive to the fact that those conversations are being had, and more as the eras change, it's like, one club players has always been great, but have a look over in America. Mm. Have a look what happens in the basketball and the NFL. They end up playing with mates and wanting to put, to get two or three blokes together to have a crack at a title.
I like the one club notion and the fact that it is a bit different here, but I am also open to, that this stage of a career when it's not going to happen somewhere where you've been, and you can still add value somewhere else, and it can be a win-win for
sometimes
both.
It's a win-win, and that is exactly what this may be. And I think his next 2 years are still going to be really good. I mean, you take a risk because he's not in his prime, and he's not going to get any younger. Mm. But I think these next two seasons, there's no reason why he couldn't produce 5 or 6 match-winning performances every year for the next couple of years, and that might be the difference.
Andrew's on the road. Go, Andrew.
Morning, boys. Thanks for taking my call. I couldn't agree more with Walker at Melbourne. Someone to hit up on a wing, that connective piece from mids to forwards would be awesome. I just wanted to talk about the umpiring. Now, you're not going to get the rub of the green when you go to Adelaide, but the pressure rating was, high mid-90s, both teams, the whole game. Free kicks was 5-5 at quarter time, and then Adelaide ended up getting 23 free kicks to 9. For the full game. I just thought there was a real discrepancy when both teams are going that hard at the footy that you could only have such a discrepancy between the umpiring. What would your opinion be?
I watched it all, didn't notice it. I didn't take it away as a factor for me, Andrew, but that's just the way I watched it.
And, Al Richardson at one stage when he was coaching St Kilda spoke about confirmation bias. Was that confirmation bias, or was it about the bias?
The noise of affirmation.
The noise of affirmation. So the he was talking about when you go and play in a state, and the fact that the atmosphere that you're all a part of can change move the 50-50s a little bit. And I think it's a thing. Mm. I've got no doubt it's a thing, but it actually comes in the ebbs and flows and momentum of a game. If you've got two MCG combatants. And one of them's on a run, I think quite often sometimes it'll seem like, oh, geez, they're getting the rub of the green now. I generally think the more aggressive team that are taking the game on, that have the momentum, will generally get, maybe they get they get 55-45 for that little period. And I think it happens. But once again, and we get to this all the time, umpiring is one of the hardest jobs.
Yeah.
I've ever witnessed, and I think they do a pretty good job at it.
That was a really good game of footy. Adelaide, their pressure, and they beat Melbourne last year over there in Adelaide. They got Darren Burgess, who would have intimate knowledge of where they are and what they did. So I think it was a really good win. No ruckman at all, and they recognised ruckman at all. They had no idea what they're doing in the ruck, which is understandable. And their forward line, I think, is still very much a work in progress. And so I think they'd be well pleased with the way they played and got there. They got there on the back of their superstars through the middle of the ground.
They're 5-10 for the year. So Adelaide and Hawthorn at 14th and 15th. 5-win seasons for Adelaide and a 4-win season for Hawthorn so far. Mm-hmm. They're two sides that are nowhere near contending for the 8, but we're relatively happy with what they've put together.
Hawthorn, thought Hawthorn Adelaide might be a win or two ahead, but... Not too far away.